need to help you need, the telephone number you call, 1-800-399-7353. That's 1-800-399-7353. Toll free. You can call me right now. 1-800-399-7353. In the name of sweet Jesus. 1-800-399-7353. I see the clock on the wall. It says time for me to leave you. Oh, saints above, those of you that need a blessing, my back-to-school blessing, you can call me right now. God bless you. God keep you, my prayer. And I love you with the love of the good Lord.
But when she touched him, the Savior didn't see. But still he turned around and cried, somebody touched me. Oh, yeah.
She said, we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Oh, because in such a special way, that's why. I lift you up, magnify your name. That's why I'm filled with praise. I love you.
How many of you really love the Lord today?
Love you, Lord.
Thank you.
I love you, Lord. Oh, because you can. You can. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, you did.
From the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Recorded are these words. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearers, and more especially the doers of His holy word. For just a little while, I want to talk about conquering the flesh through the Spirit. Conquering the flesh through the Spirit. How needed is it for us to understand the warfare that interplays underneath the skin and between the spirit and the flesh? How necessary is it for us to understand the kind of warfare the enemy uses against the believer? So oftentimes, those who have been born again, who love the Lord, who do what they know to do in the natural and try to do their best to live right and love right and do right, yet still find themselves in defeated positions more than conquering positions. And it very well may be it's not really because of the enemy without that's defeating you, but it very well may be the enemy within that's defeating you. And I've discovered, my brothers and sisters, no matter how bad you might think your enemy is, you yourself are your own worst enemy. Now, I want you to see what Paul shares with the church at Galatia, because this is no new word, but certainly it is a word that every now and then, for those of us who know it, ought to be refreshed in it, and certainly those of us who may not have come to that point of knowledge should know about it, because again, if the enemy defeats you in this walk, then all that you have lived for would surely be in vain. Notice what he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Now, when he uses the word "in," of course, that is by way of relationship, because you cannot have a relationship with the Spirit except you have a relationship with Jesus. The Holy Ghost is only designed to bring back to our remembrance and to bring us into alignment with the Word and the will in the way that Jesus Christ Himself has given unto us and prescribed unto us. And so anything outside of that that God has divinely ordered, the Holy Ghost has no participation. So in order for us to have the activity and the indwelling presence and power of the Holy Ghost, we must first have relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ. It is through this relationship with Jesus Christ that we have access with the Heavenly Father. Having access with the Heavenly Father, relationship with Jesus Christ gives us the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to do battle for us and to bring us to that point of maturity that the Lord would have concerning our earthly walk and ministry. He says very simply, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, he's making a clear point. If you ever get connected to the Holy Ghost and you actually allow Him to direct your path and to design your course, and you take every step as He leads you and guides you, he's making clear that there is no way you can ever fulfill the desires of the flesh when you're walking in the Spirit. First of all, what I need to tell you is Satan and the Lord, or Satan and the Spirit of God, always operate in different arenas. And their courses are diametrically opposite. When you go one way, and that's God's way, it's always diametrically opposite of the devil's way. That's why when the word says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face," listen to what the word says, "and turn from their wicked way." When you turn from your wicked ways, you turn to righteous ways, and wicked and righteous ways are in opposite directions. So notice here, if you walk in the Spirit, He'll never lead you to the lust of the flesh. And listen to what the word says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." And listen, "And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now listen at this, because it's so simple. I know on the cartoons, and I know some of you never watch cartoons, so I'll have to explain it to you. When I was a boy, I saw the cartoon where the little cartoon character was faced with a decision to make on one shoulder. Y'all might know it. His conscience had a halo suggesting this was the good spirit. On the other side, it was a little devil with a pitchfork and horns, representing the evil spirit. And when the decision that he had to make was up before him, the devil would tug on him and whisper in his ear, "You don't have to do it." The little spirit of the angel would say, "Yes, you have to do it. It's the right thing to do." The essence was that there was a tugging going on, trying to figure out which side am I going to listen to, because there is a war going on. And I got news for you, my brothers and sisters, that the enemy is betting against you to the spirit that he can make you do what he wants you to do. But the spirit on the other end has got your back and saying, "No, I'm going to tell him that this is the right way." And right in the middle, you're the one who decides who wins, evil or good. And I got news. God is banking on you that you're going to do the right thing as his child. Now listen at this, what the word says. Listen at what the word says. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. It's not really, listen, lusting against you. The thing that you've got to understand is you're simply a pawn. See, the devil is trying to tear down God's kingdom. But I want to serve notice that the Lord is going to tear down the devil's kingdom. And you represent which one, and if depending on what side you've chosen to join, if you join the Lord's side, it's interesting that the devil still won't leave you alone. Because what happened was, the day that you found Jesus and saw that he had a better life prepared for you, the devil got mad because you were taken from him. And he kept saying, "I'm going to get her back. I'm going to get him back. You watch and see if it's the last thing I do. I'm going to get." So he's been coming after you. If you think I'm lying, anybody been saved anytime? Has the devil left you completely alone? He's still trying to get you back in the old ways, still trying to get you to move back to Egypt after you have come to Canaan. He's still trying to get you to go back to your old friends and your old ways and your old attitudes and your, I wish I had somebody here. He's still betting and baking that he can get you back to the place where he had you once before. He's trying to take you on a trip back down memory lane, hoping he can jerk something loose from the hold that the Lord has on us, because his love constraineth. Every now and then I want to go back, but his love. Oh, I wish I had somebody. I stumbled on a photograph. It kind of made me. Woo. Now I ain't talking to them holier than thou folk. The rest of y'all know what I'm talking about. Ah, but the Lord, the Spirit. That's what you need to do with all them old photographs. All them old love letters. All that mess that'll bring you back in the pit. I need to help somebody here. If that was a ring and it didn't make it, take the ring off. If the stuff you see every time you see it make you think of them, get rid of it. If it ain't the right thing, because there is a war going on in the spirit realm, and it really ain't about you. Listen, the evil spirit, the flesh, the spirit of the flesh lusted against the spirit, and you just caught in the middle of that thing. So listen to what the Bible says. And these are contrary the one to the other. They don't like each other, and they know they don't like each other. And yet you're in the middle. But listen at this. Both of them, though contrary to the other, have the same intent. And what is the same intent that both have to get you to do what they want you to do? The Spirit wants you to do what He wants you to do because it's the right thing to do. But on the other hand, the spirit of the flesh wants you to do what He wants you to do because He wants you to succumb to the flesh and to the evilness of Satan. And each one, because of the tugging and the pulling, will not allow you to do what you want to do because they're right there, one on each side of the argument, pulling you, trying to make you make the decision that is right according to them. Listen to what verse 18 says. But if ye be led. That starts off by saying but. Because it suggests that just because you're saved don't mean that you're led. Any witnesses in the house? You've known the right thing. God told you the right thing. You're a child of God, been born again, been sanctified, been filled with the Holy Ghost. But yet it doesn't mean that you accept the leading of the Holy Ghost every time He speaks to you. But if ye be led, because the Holy Ghost is not going to force you. You've got to surrender. You've got to say, Lord, I give to you my will and then follow Him. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. There are three things I want to tell you about our text today, and I want us to walk through the scripture of Holy Writ so that we might find out. That the first thing I need to bring you up to date on and make you aware of is that you've got to be conscious of your sin. Turn to Romans 12, of your flesh, of your will. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So first thing you need to understand is that this involves the action of the body and the mind. You have got to consecrate yourself. You have got to put yourself in a position where you pull off the old man and all of the attributes and activities, ambition and attitudes of the old man, taking all of that off of you, consecrating yourself unto God, separating yourself and making yourself worthy for the service of the Lord. And you can't do that and remain in the flesh. Listen at this. It's important that you understand, if you are not conscious of what the devil is doing in you, then it's going to be hard to consecrate yourself. You see, if you think you can come in the Lord's house and act like you act in anybody else's house, if you think you can come in the Lord's service and do like you want when you do in other folks' service, if you think that you can deal with God like you deal with man, then you have no consciousness of the sin state nor of your flesh state, and you have no need of understanding that you've got to consecrate yourself. When you come into His presence, you can't come in His presence unclean. When you come in His presence, you can't come in there with worldly thoughts and worldly activities. When you come into His presence, you can't come there acting like you talking to just anybody. You're talking about the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Holy of Holies. You have got to consecrate yourself by being conscious of your sin state. That's why when David said about his sins, he said, you know, against thee only have I sinned. Because he was conscious of his sin and knew that he had to consecrate himself by saying, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. See, saints, you got to know, you will never be what God wants you to be until you consecrate yourself. But you'll never want to consecrate yourself until you reach that point where you realize that God sees you for who you are, like you are, and what you are. And you might be big in your own sight, but until you see you as God sees you and become conscious. See, a whole lot of folk don't realize how messed up they are until they try themselves in a different way. Have you ever thought some things and you thought it sounded pretty good to you? Till you say, listen, I want to bounce this off of you. I just want you to listen. And then you started talking what sounded good in your mind till you opened up your own mouth and started speaking. And it sounded so silly and so stupid to you before you finished. You said, that's all right. I got it now. That's all right. That's all right. You ain't even gonna finish it because you realized you became conscious of how messed up your thought patterns were. Am I talking to anybody in here? You've ever been there? Well, when you become conscious of that, you then begin to realize that you are not yet all that you ought to be. And there are some things you're going to have to pull off before you can put on. No, nobody in his right mind pulls off dirty clothes and put on clean clothes without washing themselves. Well, maybe I'm not talking to you. Maybe you do that. But it's more important and proper when you take off dirty clothes, because the dirty clothes have contaminated your flesh. So if you want to make sure that you are in a proper state of proper hygiene, it just makes good sense to run a little water over you. Can I help somebody here? Because I got news for you that if you try to put clean clothes on a dirty body, and then cover it up by spraying perfume or cologne on top of it, sooner, all you got to do is do a little moving. And sooner or later, folk don't know you ain't as clean. Oh, yeah, I wish I had somebody here. Well, you got to be, conscious. And the reason you have to be conscious of your flesh is so that you can consecrate your flesh. But the second thing you need to be able to realize is that you need, when you walk in the Spirit, so that you might have the victory, that you might be able to conquer the flesh, is you have to have the conviction of the Spirit. The conviction of the Spirit. Why is it important for the Spirit to convict you rather than man? Because the Spirit's motive for convicting you is to change you. But men's motive for convicting you is to condemn you. Y'all gonna get that sooner or later. That's why when the Holy Ghost convicts you of sin, it's not to condemn you, it's to change you. When he points out your shortcomings, point out your weaknesses, show you who you are before God, it's not to break you down and tear you down. It's to build you up. It's to help you reposition yourself and then build yourself up in him so that you might stand worthy before him. Listen, if you will, turn your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 139, verse 23 and verse 24, Psalm 139. And look at what it says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now look at the psalmist here, because the psalmist is saying, listen, Lord, search me. I've been trying to find myself, but because you're connected with your flesh, sometimes the heart is wicked and deceitful, and it can hide some things from you that you can't see. Because see, what you've got to realize is when you've been doing something so long that even if it's wrong, the wrong becomes right because your conscience becomes seared and becomes insensitive. So if you've been doing wrong long enough, you can turn wrong into right or become
become so disillusioned that you can't tell what's right from wrong. I wish I had somebody here. The longer you do anything and keep on doing it, you are hard to then be able to be a judge of the things you're doing wrong when you have fixed it in your own mind that it really ain't all that wrong, especially when I know what other folk are doing. But when the Holy Ghost searches you, when the Holy Ghost tries you, when the Holy Ghost looks on the inside of you, he doesn't have but one agenda, and that's to get you right before God. So he starts showing you some stuff about you that you don't even want to know about. Oh, I wish I had a witness. You thinking you perfect, you thinking you're all bad, you thinking you're right, you thinking, and the Holy Ghost starts opening up doors, showing you this and turning on the light and showing you that. Before you know it, you'll realize you're a wretch undone. That you're really not fixed, that you're really not final, that it's not all good. And in fact, Paul said, when I look at my flesh, there is no good thing in me. I ain't trying to fool nobody. He said, if you want to talk about sinners, you looking at chief sinner. I'm the worst sinner I know. When I look at my own history and look at my own record and look at where God's brought me from, I know they got some other sinners, but I ain't looking at you because they got so much stuff I've been looking at in me that I don't like. Because when he looked at the flesh, he saw he was not as perfect as he thought he was, fighting against the church of God, and yet they had him believing that he was fighting a righteous cause, when in fact he was standing against and going against the program of God. But look, I want you to turn to Psalm 19, if you will. Psalm 19. I want you to look at 12 through 14 and see what he says. Because this is where the Holy Ghost convicts us. This, if we want to conquer the flesh. Look at what he says. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. See, some of you got some. You know what secret faults are? I can tell by your response you know it, so I won't linger on that. But listen at this. It says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, from willful. See, you need to be real with the Lord, because there are some sins that you need the Lord to help you. You know, it's so wonderful. We have wonderful church on Sunday, and we rejoice and we praise and we have a hallelujah good time. But we, many of us, before we even leave here, have already plotted and planned to do some things that we know we're going to do that God don't like before we leave the house, his house. And then some of us, when we go home, we simply go home to change clothes to go to another kind of party. And it ain't God's party. And it ain't with God's people. And there are some things we've got to be real enough with ourselves and say, God, keep me away from those willful sins, some presumptuous sins. You know about them and I know about them. Lord, if y'all get quiet, I'm going to know y'all got some problems here today. Look at what he says. Look at what he says. Let them not have dominion over me. Are there some willful sins in your life that you ain't got power to stop yourself from, that they've got dominion over you? That's when you can't help it. That's when you fall weak to it. That's when you say, I'm not going to get in the midst of that sin, and you say, how much you want me to do, how much you want me to give, how high you want me to jump, how far you want me to go. Don't act like you ain't never been there. I'm praying you're not still there. But listen to this. He says, deliver me from that, because I can't help myself. Listen, then shall I be up, right? Then, when, after you deliver me from the stuff I can't deliver myself from, then I want to be upright in my heart and my mind. I want to do the right thing, but I can't help myself. You've got to deliver me from that. Some of you need to be real enough. That's why your life is torn apart. Ain't got no joy. Ain't got no peace. Ain't got no power. because the presumptuous sins have dominion over you. Look at what he says. And I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable.